TT Books technical director Kirill Owen is a fan of comics. In 1993, she began reading a monthly comic book called Strangers in Paradise. It's a story about the lives and loves of three friends, Francine, Cachou, and David. They weren't superheroes, or supermodels, or talking super animals, just a group of regular people whose lives and loves collided and fell apart, just like the rest of us. Writer and artist Terry Moore embroiled his characters in everything from bad dates and ill-advised marriages to international crime syndicates. Oh, and a love triangle, where the two women are the main protagonists and the guy is the odd man out.
Cachou gives me the only hug I get at the end of a bad day, asking, "Hey, Francine, how was work?" The only loving smile, the only gentle caress. Can you blame me for being grateful? And she never asked for anything. I spent my entire life looking for a man like that, but I found a woman instead. So it must be love, right? And when you're in love, you're supposed to do something about it, right?
Terry Moore's character Francine from a radio play adaptation of Strangers in Paradise. TT Books' Kirill Owen talked with writer-artist Terry Moore about writing a serial comic.
Why did you choose to make this a comic? And not only a comic, but a comic that extended over, what was it, close to 14 years?
Yes, since 93.
I mean, this is sort of like, you know, being Dickens in a really big way and having to draw the pictures.
I'm flattered that you compare that to Dickens, and he was actually kind of a template. He's actually a template for comics in general, in the aspect that many of his stories began as periodical pieces in magazines and were later collected into books. And I thought about that. When I was drawing the story in the beginning, I soon found that I wanted to throw everything I had into the story. It was my one creative vehicle. So I wanted to include my songs, my poetry, my prose. There are sometimes in the book where I'll show you things in the graphic novel visual aspect, but then I'll go back and rewrite the same chapter in prose, and you get all of the inner dialogue. It was a lot of fun just to get into one big creative sandbox under this one title and show a story from many, many angles like a diamond. And then to be able to collect it later and say, oh, look, it's a book, that's just icing on the cake.
Was there a downside to having to do it that way?
Oh, yes. The downside is that you're releasing your book one chapter at a time. Those chapters are out there, so when you get halfway into your book and think of something that would be really nice to retrofit, no. You're painted into a corner. Whatever is out there are the rules you're stuck with. Typically, you would finish a book, then you would go back and fix it, rewrite it, and have a cohesive piece of work. But in the way I worked, publishing it as a periodical series and then collecting that as a graphic novel, it was really a road trip, and it's more of a stream of consciousness form of writing.
You're working in the medium of comics, which I think most people who don't read a lot of stuff in the genre would think of as being the, you know, superheroes and supervillains playground. What's the attraction of writing about regular people in this form?
Well, when I began the story, I couldn't relate to supermodels or Superman. What I was interested in was the people that I just see day to day on the elevator or standing at a street corner waiting on a bus and wondering what, you know, every person has a story. And I was fascinated with exploring that. It is amazing when you delve into the lives of people just how fascinating they can be. I'll give you a really quick example. If I tell you that a little boy is walking down the street, another boy throws his bookcase down on the ground and leave, well, you only care so much. But if I tell you that the little boy's mother just packed that lunch for him with love and care, and she's facing cancer and chemotherapy and adores this boy, and it's just the two of them struggling to live, and she wants everybody to like him and be well at school, and it's his first day, and then the kids jump him and beat him up and take the lunch, and the lunch had a little note from his mom in it. Those kind of things. Now suddenly you're invested in the boy's life and the mother. And that's the role of the writer, I think, is to show that every person is incredibly interesting if you would just take the time to get to know them.
So this has really basically been a chance to tell regular people's stories. Did you ever want to write a superhero story?
Yes, I did. I have to confess that when I began Strangers in Paradise, I was doing it as an audition for work with DC Comics. But my own work proved popular, and I decided not to look a gift horse in the mouth. And things got carried away, and here I am 14 years later, still wondering if I'll ever get that job with DC Comics.
Do you think that the big two, Marvel and DC, are making a mistake when they sort of push their superheroes into the wide world rather than letting them be actual people?
Diplomatically, I would back off from saying they're making a mistake, but I will confess that every idea I have for their characters involves pulling the character back down to a sense of place and a sense of community, bringing them back down to a more human level. Say, for instance, Batman. I don't know who that guy is anymore. In the beginning, he was more of a Zorro with a home life, and then he snuck out at night and did these things and then tried to cover it up the next day. No kid can relate to what he's doing. They just kind of watch it like a train wreck. I would like to see a more human element reinfused into the genre.
I've seen it mentioned in a couple of interviews that your vision of the way that Strangers in Paradise was going to end actually changed after the events of 9/11. In what way did it change?
Well, before 9/11, I was thinking in terms of a story with more consequences. I think probably a little more dramatic ending and Heathcliff and cliffs. But after 9/11, I just decided that I had had it with all of the grief and the anxiety, and decided that I had a lot of ability to either make creative work that would be a blessing in somebody's life or a problem. And I had read an instance of a Hiroshima survivor who, after the war, dedicated his art to only beautiful nature scenes so that whoever looked at his art was better for it. It was a benefit to their life because he had seen enough of the pain. And I decided to take a little more of that approach with my writing and make the story end on a definite note of hope and happiness and love, just so that you'd be glad that you were here and glad that you read the book and glad that you're making your own efforts at relationships. And yeah, they really can turn out great.
Your fans, and I'm certainly one of them, I'm used to having these people come and visit me on a regular basis, and I've just lost a really great bunch of friends. Are you going to miss them?
I miss them already.
I'm looking forward to just going back and pulling everything out of the boxes downstairs. Now I'll go home and have myself a really good, long, like, 2-week read.
I think I will, too. It's been a long time since I've sat down and read it from beginning to end. I hear it's a good book. I'm looking forward to reading it.
Even though I'm losing you, I dream of you.
Strangers in Paradise wrapped up its 14-year run with issue 90. Terry Moore's next job is for Marvel Comics. He'll be writing a superhero comic about Spider-Man as an adolescent. Terry Moore spoke with Kirill Owen.